This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's almost as scary as watching your dog growl at the wall and realize he sees something you don't. Get a quote at geico.com.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
High stakes begin. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Monday, October 12, thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Confirmation hearings begin today for Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett just 3 weeks before the election.
President Trump says he no longer has the coronavirus and suggests he's immune. The White House has not yet confirmed that he's tested negative.
In sports, the Lakers win the NBA championship by beating the Heat in six games. Rafael Nadal captured the French Open for his 20th Grand Slam.
And getting little to no attention during the presidential campaign, the nation's debt.
In both instances, it's bad news. That's probably not a surprise to people. Each of the candidates, if they were able to enact their plan more or less in full, would add about $5 trillion to the national debt if you push it out 10 years to 2030.
Rick Newman at Yahoo Finance on America's debt becoming the biggest election loser. Supreme Court confirmation hearings begin today at 9 a.m. for Judge Amy Coney Barrett, just 22 days before the presidential election. 4 days of hearings are planned. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham will lead the proceedings.
We're going to work. We're going to work safely. If you don't want to come to the committee hearing, you can interview the judge virtually. I will be there. She will be there. The hearing starts Monday, and we're going to get this fine lady confirmed out of committee by October 22nd.
Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer.
The president thinks Judge Barrett would support him should the 2020 election become contested in the high court.
Opening statements today. She begins taking questions tomorrow. The full Senate could vote on Ms. Barrett's confirmation the last week in October. Meanwhile, presidential nominee Joe Biden on Friday said that voters don't deserve to know if he would attempt to pack the Supreme Court if he wins in November. President Trump returns to the campaign trail today. He's scheduled to hold an event at an airport in Sanford, Florida, his first campaign rally since he revealed 10 days ago that he tested positive for COVID-19. Mr. Trump, who spent 3 days in the hospital for treatment, said yesterday on Fox News he was fully recovered and no longer infectious, but did not say directly whether he had tested negative for the virus.
It seems like I'm immune, so I can go way out of a basement, which I would have done anyway, and which I did, because you have to run a country. You have to get out of the basement, and it looks like I'm immune.
Democratic rival Joe Biden today will be campaigning in Ohio, a state Mr. Trump won by 8 percentage points back in 2016. It is Mr. Biden's second campaign trip in as many weeks to Ohio, which was once thought of out of reach, but where polls now show a tight race. Separately, Twitter added a warning label to a tweet from President Trump that claimed he is immune to the coronavirus after his physician cleared him to resume public activities. As negotiations on a larger package run into resistance, the Trump administration is calling on Congress to pass a smaller coronavirus relief bill using leftover funds from an expired small business loan program. We get more now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
In a letter to lawmakers yesterday, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows said Congress should immediately vote on legislation to enable the use of unused Paycheck Protection Program funds, which totaled around $130 billion. Meanwhile, a separate administration proposal for a $1.9 trillion relief measure was deemed insufficient by Democrats. Senate Republicans said it was too costly. Mr. Mnuchin says he'll continue talking to Democratic leaders about a comprehensive bill. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The latest White House proposal capped a roller coaster week in which Mr. Trump ended negotiations before reversing himself. The nearly $1.9 trillion offer comes closer to the $2.2 trillion plan that House Democrats approved earlier this month, though major differences between the Democrats and the White House remain. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
When it comes to mobility, Michigan is making what the rest of the world hasn't even thought of yet. Our state is home to two world-class autonomous vehicle testing sites, and we're first in the U.S. for mobility-related patents. With over 500 miles of roadway equipped for connected vehicle testing, it's no wonder that everyone is moving to where it all started. So if you're ready to move into the future with your mobility business, see how we can help at planetm.com/pure-opportunity.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Monday. Absentee ballot rejections this November are projected to reach historic levels, risking widespread disenfranchisement of minority voters and the credibility of election results. Pat Beal at USA Today worked on an investigation with Columbia Journalism and PBS. Pat, what have you found?
Well, we were looking at error rates and we were looking at volume, and basically, if the error rates that were the same as the 2016 presidential election continue, you're looking at more than a million absentee ballots being tossed if half the nation votes by mail. If 75% of the nation votes absentee, then those discarded votes jump to 1.5 million.
Is it reasonable to believe that in 2020 we'll have the same mistake rate or rejection rate from 2016?
Well, that's a really good question, because if the rate of errors push the rejection rate up just about 2%, then you're looking at 2.1 million votes that could be cast aside, and that's roughly the population of New Mexico. And the problem, of course, is that many people will be voting absentee for the first time and may have some hurdles in terms of crossing every T, dotting every I.
So what happens when a ballot is rejected? Start with the main reasons why ballots are rejected.
Well, most of them are minor reasons and procedural reasons that, if the state allows it, can be corrected or fixed before the ballot is counted. A lot of people forget to sign their names. Sometimes people don't have a witness signature, or the witness signature is in the wrong place. Some states require a notary, and some folks don't always get a notary. I think the largest consistent reason is that they just missed a deadline.
So if a ballot is rejected for, say, a missing signature, some states will actually, I think my son, when he first became eligible in the spring, voted in the primary, I think he forgot a signature, and New Jersey sent it back to him. He signed it and sent it back, and even got a letter back saying, thanks, we received your fixed ballot, or whatever the wording is. But not all states do that?
Not all states do that. And I believe at the beginning of this election year, there were probably, I want to say, in the realm of maybe a dozen or so that did not do it. However, there's litigation all over the country regarding absentee ballot rejections, how absentee ballots can be cast, and whether you get to fix a signature or any other minor error. And so some of these things are up in the air with different states.
We're speaking with Pat Beal, investigative reporter at USA Today. They've got a story entitled, More Than 1 Million People Could Lose Their Vote on November 3rd. That's the best case scenario. Lots of problems, I guess, in minority neighborhoods. How come?
Yeah, we don't know. I mean that's the long and short of it. We talked to everyone we could, but we do know that there was a racial and even an income divide in 2016 related to whether your ballot got tossed or not.
Folks who know much more about this stuff than I do say that it's time to have some uniformity among states, or is this really a place where states want to make their own rules?
States always want to make their own rules. I mean, and really, people have cited this kind of patchwork approach to election management where counties are responsible or for elections, and states are responsible for elections instead of the federal government. And that's considered a strength in many quarters. On the other hand, yes, there are some critics who believe, you know, broader standards might be helpful.
Nice. Pat Beal, investigative reporter at USA Today. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett are set to begin this morning as Republicans charge ahead to try to cement a conservative majority on the court before Election Day. Republican Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska spoke with Fox.
She's an originalist and she's a textualist, which means when she puts on her black robe in the morning, she knows what it is to be a judge, and that is to cloak your personal preferences. Our judges don't wear red or blue jerseys.
Democratic Senator Chris Coons of Delaware was also on Fox.
As I will lay out in my questioning this week, we shouldn't be having this hearing with two members of the committee infected with COVID. It's rushed. It constitutes court packing, and her views are too extreme to qualify her to serve on this court.
There will be 3 days of hearings.
Number two.
The latest White House offer on a new coronavirus package is hitting resistance from both parties, deflating hopes that a bipartisan agreement is imminent. Democrats criticize the $1.9 trillion offer from Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin as insufficient, especially in its funding and strategy for coronavirus testing and tracing. Senate Republicans, meanwhile, balked at the offer's cost and its proposed expansion of the Affordable Care Act.
Number three.
President Trump will try to put his bout with COVID-19 behind him when he returns to the campaign trail today, beginning with a rally in Florida. The event at an airport in Sanford will be Trump's first campaign rally since he disclosed he tested positive for COVID-19. Trump says he is fully recovered and no longer infectious, but did not say whether he had tested negative for the virus. Opponent Joe Biden heads to Ohio today. Top government scientist Anthony Fauci says a clip of him used in a Trump campaign ad is misleading. In it, Fauci says he can't imagine that anybody could be doing more to fight COVID-19, suggesting he endorses President Trump's handling of the crisis. But Fauci says he was talking about himself and other officials on the task force and that he never publicly endorsed any political candidate. LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers back atop the NBA world. The Lakers are champions again, beating the Miami Heat 106-93 last night to end the NBA Finals in six games. James posted another triple-double in the win.
For me to be a part of such a historical franchise is it's an unbelievable feeling, not only for myself, but for my teammates, for the organization, for the coaches, for the trainers, everybody that's here.
It's the 17th championship for the Lakers, tying Boston for the most in league history.
Boy, I turned the game off. I flipped it on just to check it out, and the Lakers are up by 32 at
one point. I know.
The
final score is very misleading.
Yeah. I thought, well, I trimmed it a little bit at the end, I guess, but wow. Thanks, Jen. So if you're working from home, are you still dressing for work? While we can all understand not wearing a tie, going to the other extreme, like an old t-shirt, is a little too casual. If you need to upgrade the work-from-home wardrobe, try Cuts Clothing. Technical apparel for the sport of business. GQ called them the only shirt worth wearing. They combine an athletic, tailored-looking fit with their custom-engineered, wrinkle-free, ultra-soft Pika fabric for a new level of fit, fabric, and function. I gotta say, I love wearing my Cuts shirts. They're tough, they're durable, yet still flexible, willing to move with me. And now Cuts is finally out with their new polos and hoodies made with their custom Hyperloop French Terry fabric. Try Cuts and save. Cuts is loved by your favorite athletes, entrepreneurs, and even podcast hosts. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. cutsclothing.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. The Bureau of Labor Statistics report 865,000 women left the labor force between August and September, four times the number of men. What can women do who want to return to the workforce or who feel guilty about staying home? Insight from Karen Coffey, founder of Karen Coffey Coaching. She provides guidance to women and moms all over North America. Karen, how do you see this?
You know, we were covered up before the pandemic because women have so many roles. When you're a businesswoman, a career-minded female, it is covered up in roles. Now with the pandemic and online homeschooling and taking care of aging parents, and we still have the same responsibilities we did before, it's been kind of rough. So the women are really struggling with their time management, guilt. What do? I want to contribute. Do I just shelve my career? What do I do? So, yeah, our clients coming in and really saying, help, help me. I need direction.
All right. So for those who, I guess, let's start with those who want to get back into the working world. It's a tough time, obviously. What do you recommend?
Yeah, I recommend, first of all, you know, we can no longer have that employee mindset for those women who work for a company. If you're looking to get back into the workforce, the first thing you want to do in your niche, in your preferred employment arena, know what they're looking for. Right now, companies are looking for bottom line, client retention, increase in revenue, and perhaps increase in talented staffing. And if you can somehow, I know maybe you've been an accountant, maybe you were just admin before, but if you can bring some value back to the companies right now, not all of them are struggling. Some are having record months. Don't assume everyone is struggling. But they will ward people off from asking for raises, asking to come back to her employment. If you can just reach out and find out what their hot spot is and then figure out how to fill that or at least help, you're going to get the job every time.
How about for the women who feel guilty about staying home?
Well, you know, they absolutely do feel guilty for staying home sometimes. They want to contribute. They want to. So here's some ideas that I have for women. You know, you can have a business. You can start contributing from home. This is the perfect time to recreate, re-pivot, create a new plan for a new environment. And sometimes that's going to take having hard conversations with your family, with your children, with your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I know that you have a job. I know that you're Mr. Husband. I know you're out there every day. I need your support in these ways. This is an opportunity. We've had, you know, we're taking a pause and going, oh, wow, I do have to create something new. But we don't have to put ourselves in the back seat ever. We can absolutely just have some tough conversations around boundaries, what we need. And, you know, there's always, just things that you never wanted to say before. Now's the time. Just don't hold back.
Thanks, Karen. Karen Coffey, founder of Karen Coffey Coaching. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. And you can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Chances are you're spending too many hours of your day and fees out of your pocket doing business banking the old-fashioned way. It's 2020. There's got to be a better, more affordable solution. There is. It's Aslo, a free business checking account with invoicing, bill pay, money transfers, no minimum balance, no fees, and no minimum deposit. And now there's the all-new Aslo Pro Bundle with unlimited envelopes to organize your money, discounted instant transfers, and the ability to set up recurring invoices all for just $10 a month. But because you're listening to this podcast, you can try Aslo Pro free for 14 days at aslo.com/deal. Learn more with a free copy of Aslo's Small Business Starter Guide or get started right now with an Aslo Pro free 14-day trial at aslo.com/deal. There's no minimum deposit required. Get started for free at aslo.com/deal. That's AZLO.com. Aslo is owned by BBVA USA, member FDIC. aslo.com/deal.
Expert insight, world-class reporting. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, October 12. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Supreme Court confirmation hearings begin today for Amy Coney Barrett. White House and Democratic leaders still negotiating a coronavirus relief bill. Twitter says it'll make it harder for posts to go viral before Election Day. Lakers won their 17th NBA title, tying the Celtics for the most. Rafa Nadal won the French Open, tying Roger Federer for most Grand Slam titles by a man. Seahawks over the Vikings in Sunday Night Football. And the Vietnam vet from Minnesota who got some help from his community. That story in about 20 minutes. If fiscal restraint by the government is your top election issue, there's no candidate for you this year, according to a new report by Deficit Hawks in Washington. The Center for a Responsible Federal Budget estimates that President Trump and Democrat Joe Biden would each send the federal debt spiraling higher during the next several years. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance, has a look at the breakdown by the numbers. Rick, what are we learning?
Yeah, this is a group of deficit hawks in Washington. It's a think tank. They analyzed what we know about both the Joe Biden and the Donald Trump economic plans for 2021 to 2024, with a focus on trying to figure out what it would do to the national debt. And in both instances, it's bad news. That's probably not a surprise to people. Each of the candidates, if they were able to enact their plan more or less in full, would add about $5 trillion to the national debt if you push it out 10 years to 2030. It would go up by a little bit more under Biden and a little bit less under Trump. So it would be negative for the national debt, which is gigantic. I mean, I think the national debt is now around $27 trillion. I don't think anybody can even contemplate how much money that is. But, I mean, the big caveat to this kind of analysis is no president ever gets his entire agenda enacted. If Biden were to have any hope of getting even some of his plans enacted, he would not only have to win in November, but also get Democratic control of the Senate. That might be a 50-50 proposition. And Trump is not going to, even if Trump wins, he's definitely not going to have complete control of Congress, because it's almost certain that Democrats will continue to control the House. So neither one of these candidates is probably going to be able to enact his plan, but this gives you an idea of what the candidates have in mind.
What happened to caring about debt and deficits?
A couple of things happened. First of all, the big crisis that some experts predicted would happen by now did not happen. So the idea is that when the U.S. government, when its borrowing is really out of control, it would push interest rates up and cause inflation. And of course, we have the opposite. We have extraordinarily low interest rates right now and almost no inflation. And that's mainly because the Federal Reserve has been able to pull levers on the economy that a lot of people didn't think they would be able to pull until the last 10 years. And I think the other thing that happened is we just have bigger problems.
We're speaking with Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. He's written a piece entitled Biggest Election Loser, America's National Debt. All right, so a couple examples, Rick, of who wants to spend how much and on what.
Sure. Biden has a very detailed plan, or set of plans, I should say. Anybody can see these on his website. The group that did this analysis, they counted 48 discrete plans, ranging for everything from improvements to affordable housing to several changes Biden wants to make in health care, new efforts to approach to deal with climate change, and so on. So 48 plans with 800 individual proposals. I mean, that's quite a lot. Think about, trying to pass that through Congress. There are different estimates for how much Biden would spend and how much he would push taxes up to pay for it. But let's call it about $7 trillion in new spending and $4 trillion in new taxes. So there's obviously a gap there. So these analysts are saying Biden is proposing more spending than he has taxes to pay for it. But Biden says he does want to pay for all of his plans. Trump is harder to analyze because he hasn't really published or outlined any real plans. His campaign website lists 54 bullet items. He said, things he says he wants to do, but they're mostly just generalizations with no detail on how he would do it. It's stuff like create 10 million jobs, but he doesn't say how. It's lower prescription drug prices, but he doesn't say how. Protect people with pre-existing conditions, but he doesn't say how. And it's just that one line. So people who are trying to analyze the Trump plan are having kind of a hard time. What they're doing is they're looking around for mostly Republican proposals, whether it's bills in Congress or stuff sitting on the shelves in think tanks that seem to be similar to what Trump is saying, and trying to use those more detailed plans to estimate the cost of Trump's plans. So it gets hard to do. No one really knows how much new spending Trump is proposing.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, if you've had a run of bad luck and starting to think that you were a magnet for trouble, you might change your tune once you hear what happened to this coffee shop in Cleveland. Six Shooter Coffee was forced to clean up and regroup again after having a car crash through its front window for the second time in less than a year. The first incident happened last November when a car crashed into the shop while it was closed. The driver hit and run, and they never found out who the culprit was. Then, over Over the weekend, another car barreled into the shop, even though it had moved to a completely different location. Thankfully, no one got hurt, even though this time it was during the middle of the day. But according to the shop's post on Facebook, they once again have no idea who, why, or how this happened. The driver of the car reportedly told one of the baristas that he fell asleep before driving into the coffee shop and before then running off. The shop summed up their bizarre year on Facebook, writing, "One thing we can all agree upon in this wild and wacky year of 2020 is that if you couldn't make something up, it will 100% definitely actually happen."
Man, that's crazy.
Move locations and everything.
They like, need
this place is bad luck. We're going to go somewhere else.
They need a fake storefront, I think.
Yes.
Just put a sign up, but actually operate somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. It says like, you know, cardboard factory outside or something like that.
Man,
nothing
crazy
having to do with coffee whatsoever.
Right.
But, you know, can you imagine the person, you know, maybe on their way to the coffee shop feeling a little sleepy, you know what I mean? Going to go pick up some coffee, falls asleep at the wheel and crashes. You know, it's like something out of a TV show,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Craziness.
They focus on coffee to go, curbside delivery, delivery to home, something.
Something like that.
Wow.
And we've spent way more time than normal talking about what NFL coaches have been wearing on the sidelines this season, specifically on their face. Seattle Seahawks coach Pete Carroll was one of those who got in trouble with the league for his lack of face coverings earlier this season and was fined $100,000 because of it. Thankfully, he seems to have gotten that issue straightened out, but while looking at his face on Sunday Night Football, fans found something else to joke about: his hoodie. On a rainy night in Seattle, Carroll donned a hoodie and a rain jacket, which, when pulled over his head and combined with the dark blue face mask, left very little of Carroll's face visible. Fans joked on Twitter, many comparing Carroll's look to that of the Emperor Palpatine from Star Wars. The Gorton's Fisherman was also thrown out there for comparison, along with Cobra Commander from the G.I. Joe cartoons. Others, though, welcome the coach's new look, since with all that face gear, we can't see Carroll chomping his gum on the sideline anymore.
Oh.
That was apparently annoying people.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's sort of a signature move of his, though.
Right. He is an open mouth gum chewer.
Yes.
Yeah, where if you were near him, or perhaps on the other end of his headphones that he wears.
Right.
His little mouth speaker. There.
Yes,
you can hear that, I presume.
Yes, you kind of think the gum could come shooting out at any minute and hit you in the face. I'm not sure how many people got that during a particularly loud conversation with him.
I do like the Seahawks uniforms, though. I like those bright green jerseys with the blue pants. I like that combo.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah. Could have used a little more help from them on my NFL pick'em pool.
Oh, come on. It's a ridiculous lost cause for all of us at this point.
I think you and I actually might run the risk of getting kicked out. Like, is that possible?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a clause in this league, but if it was, we'd be right on the cusp.
And like our clever commissioner has like arranged trades where you could trade one person to another group, maybe to improve your status. You and I are going nowhere.
No,
you and I are not getting signed next year. We're not getting invited back. We're just
We're not very high on the trade market list.
13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
For the ones working tirelessly to keep their coworkers safe, for the ones rising to new challenges, for the ones rebuilding stronger than before, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, and 24/7 support. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for spending time with us. Food company executives say they are expecting new consumer habits formed during the pandemic to stick, with a renewed focus on health and cooking at home. The chief executive of Campbell Soup, speaking recently at the Wall Street Journal's Global Food Forum, said eating on the go, which had been popular before the pandemic, has declined dramatically. The chief executive at Kellogg told the virtual forum that the company has a chance now to appeal to more people given their change in habits, saying people are having breakfast together with their families. Campbell has shifted advertising to focus on how people can cook with its soups now that they have them in their pantries and on connecting with younger families. The chief executive of General Mills, maker of Cheerios, Yoplait, and Betty Crocker, said spending recently to make its products trendier, tastier, or more nutritious
have helped it gain market share during the crisis. And ConAgra, which makes Healthy Choice frozen meals, Slim Jim, and Hunt's tomatoes, says it also expects new habits to stick. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Senate Republicans are vowing a quick confirmation for President Trump's Supreme Court nominee as the party rushes to put conservative Judge Amy Coney Barrett on the high court before the November 3rd election. The process starts this morning with hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee. The hearings are likely to be a hybrid of in-person questioning and some participation via video after three GOP senators, including two on the committee, contracted coronavirus.
Number two.
President Trump says he may have the protective glow of immunity from COVID-19, although many details about his recovery, including the date of his last negative coronavirus test, remain unknown. In an interview with Fox yesterday, Trump says he beat the coronavirus, passing the highest standards for proving so.
I'm not on any medication, and the medications that I took were standard, pretty much routine, other than the one which is a miracle. It's the antibody stuff.
Twitter added a warning label to Trump's tweet claiming he's immune. The label says the tweet violated the Twitter rules about spreading misleading and potentially harmful information related to COVID-19.
Number three.
Police say a private security guard working for a Denver TV station has been jailed for investigation of first-degree murder in the deadly shooting of another man during dueling right and left-wing protests on Saturday afternoon. The guard, 30-year-old Matthew Doloff, was taken into custody after the clash in which another man apparently slapped him and sprayed him with mace. The wounded man later died at a nearby hospital. A Louisiana man has died in the aftermath of Hurricane Delta, and two people in Georgia were injured Saturday during tornadoes spawned by the storm. An 86-year-old man in St. Martin Parish died after a fire started as he was fueling a generator in a shed. The French Open men's final was a total smackdown. Rafael Nadal beat Novak Djokovic in straight sets yesterday to take the Grand Slam title there for the 13th time.
Played a very good final. I played at my highest level when I needed to play at my highest level. So something that I am very, very proud. And the personal satisfaction is big.
With the win, Nadal now has the same number of Grand Slams as Roger Federer, although both are still three shy of Serena Williams' Open record of 23.
By the way, good news for Djokovic. At least he didn't hit a linesperson with a ball.
Excellent, but he didn't play very much.
No, he did not.
Either.
But I must say, for those who couldn't see, Jennifer was pumping both fists in excitement in reading the Nadal victory story. Am I right?
I don't like Djokovic at all.
Well aware of that. Thanks, Jen. A Minnesota community has come together to build a ramp for a disabled Vietnam War vet in need of help getting in and out of his house. KIMT Television says Family Service Rochester and Two Rivers Habitat for Humanity pitched in to make a deck in Rochester for 67-year-old Navy veteran Bob McReynolds. His wife Janice called the volunteer efforts a blessing. Meals on Wheels America provided a grant for the project, and the Home Depot Foundation contributed funding. A spokesman for Habitat for Humanity said Mr. McReynolds served the country. He put a lot of work into it, and they don't want him to be struggling the rest of his life with just going in and out of his house for things like doctor's appointments. Habitat for Humanity also built the couple a new flagpole that had been vandalized recently by some kids. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. It's October, and what does that mean? Well, it's Geico-ween, of course. Don't be spooked by high rates on car insurance. Geico is brewing up spellbinding savings that they're crafting just for you. See how much you could save. Get a quote today at geico.com.